Simon & Schuster Audio presents The Bane Chronicles, The Runaway Queen, by Cassandra Clare and Maureen Johnson. Read by George Blagden.
Paris, June 1791. There was a smell to Paris in the summer mornings that Magnus enjoyed. This was surprising, because on summer mornings Paris smelled of cheese that had sat in the sun all day, and fish, and the less desirable parts of fish. It smelled of people, and all the things that people produce. This does not refer to art or culture, but to the baser things that were dumped out of windows in buckets. But these were punctuated by other odours, and the odours would shift rapidly from street to street, or building to building. That heady whiff of a bakery might be followed by an unexpected flush of gardenias in a garden, which gave way to the iron-rich pong of a slaughterhouse. Paris was nothing if not alive, the Seine pumping along like a great artery, the vessels of the wider streets, narrowing down to the tiniest alleys, and every inch of it had a smell. It all smelled of life. Life in every form and degree. The smells today, however, were a bit strong. Magnus was taking an unfamiliar route, one that took him through quite a rough patch of Paris. The road here was not as smooth. It was brutally hot inside his cabriolet as it bumped its way along. Magnus had animated one of his magnificent Chinese fans, and it flapped ineffectively at him, barely stirring the breeze. It was, if he was completely honest with himself, and he did not want to be, a bit too hot for this new striped blue and rose-coloured coat, made of taffeta and satin, and the silk faye waistcoat embroidered with a scene of birds and cherubs, the wing collar, and the wig, and the silk breeches, the wonderful new gloves in the most delicate lemon yellow. It was all a bit warm. Still, if one could look this fabulous, one had an obligation to. One should wear everything, or one should wear nothing at all. He settled back into his seat and accepted the sweat proudly, glad that he lived by his principles, principles which were widely embraced in Paris. In Paris, people were always after the latest fashion. Wigs that hit the ceiling and had miniature boats in them. Outrageous silks, white paint and high-blushed cheeks on the men and the women. The decorative beauty spots, the tailoring, the colours. In Paris, one could have the eyes of a cat, as he did, and tell people it was a trick of fashion. In a world such as this, there was much work for an enterprising warlock. The aristocracy loved a bit of magic and were willing to pay for it. They paid for luck at the pharaoh table. They paid him to make their monkeys speak, to make their birds sing their favourite arias from the opera, to make their diamonds glow in different colours. They wanted beauty spots in the shapes of hearts, champagne glasses, and stars to spontaneously appear on their cheeks. They wanted to dazzle their guests by having fire shoot from their fountains, and then to amuse those same guests by having their chaise longues wander across the room. And their lists of requests for the bedroom. Well, he kept careful notes on those. They were nothing if not imaginative. In short, the people of Paris and the neighbouring royal town of Versailles were the most decadent people Magnus had ever met, and for this, he revered them deeply. Of course, the revolution had put a damper on some of this. Magnus was daily reminded of that fact, even now as he pulled back the blue silk curtains of the carriage. He received a few penetrating looks from the sans-culottes, pushing their carts or selling their cat meat. Magnus kept apartments in the Marais, on the Rue Barbette, quite near the Hôtel de Soubise, home of his old and recently deceased friend, the Prince of Soubise. Magnus had an open invitation to wander the gardens or entertain himself there any time he chose. In fact, he could walk into any number of great houses in Paris and be warmly greeted. His aristocratic friends were silly but mostly harmless. But now it was problematic to be seen in their company. Sometimes it was problematic to be seen at all. It was no longer a good thing to be very rich or well-connected. The unwashed masses...